Let's pray and open our heart to God's word. Father, I just thank you for the word of the Lord. It is always what we need. And Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, that we might live as you've called us to. Lord, that you would be glorified in our life. I pray tonight, Lord, that as I share your word, that faith will come in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to start a new series tonight called The Life of Faith. That's what the Christian life is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a life of faith. It's not a life of religion or of man-made doctrine. It's not a life of rules. It is to be a life of faith. And, you know, that just simply means that every day we live relying, depending, trusting in the Lord. A life of faith, living by the Word of God, living by the promises of God and the things that He has said to us. You know, most believers consider faith to be some kind of a feeling that comes over them. But I just want to tell you right here at the beginning of this series that faith is something that you choose to do. You choose to believe. That's how you got saved. That's why they call it a decision. You make a decision to believe in Christ. It's something that you choose to do. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you've been saved through faith. We have to believe just to receive the gift of salvation. And just as we choose to believe that Jesus paid the price for our sins, we choose to believe that He is our shepherd. We choose to believe that He gives us wisdom, that He provides for us, that He heals us, that He protects us, that He gives us peace, that He gives us joy. And if you're going to go by your feelings, I want to tell you some days you're going to have peace and some days you're not. You're going to go by your feelings, and some days you're going to have enough and some days you're not. But when you know that He's your provider and you choose to believe, you're always going to have enough. Listen, the reason so many believers experience so little of God's power is because they have so little faith. Many times Jesus said things like, "Oh, you of little faith." See, the disciples had to grow up in their faith, and so do we. Hebrews chapter 11 lists out many of what I call the heroes of faith, because every one of them is listed there because of what they were able to do by faith. Because they believed, God moved and worked in their life and did great miracles in their lives. But every one of them, it was by faith. It wasn't because they were so good. It wasn't because, you know, they were so strong or they were so smart. It was because they believed God. It was by faith. That was the one common denominator among all of those people listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Is that they believed. They lived a life of faith. And when this life is over, what we want to be said about us is not, "Oh, well, they did the best they could." Well, that sounds good. That sounds right in this culture. "Oh, they did the best they could. We did it our way. They were smart, they were strong, they were good." Now what we want people to say is they believed God and God moved and worked in their life. That by faith, see, that we live that life of faith we've been called to live. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, it says, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He is one of only two people in the Bible that it tells us specifically that he walked with God. The other was Noah. He's one of only two people in the Bible that the scripture tells us specifically that he did not experience death. The other was Elijah. He's one of only two people that the Bible tells us specifically that he pleased God. The other was the Lord Jesus. He lived a life of faith that so pleased God that one day the Lord just said, "Hey, you're coming with me." That's a life of faith. In verse 6 it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." See, to live a life of faith, we don't just believe in God, but we believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. In other words, God moves and works in our lives. He rewards those who diligently seek him. A lot of people that believe in God, but they don't live a life of faith because they don't believe that God will work in their life today. They don't believe that God really answers prayers. They don't believe that faith really makes a difference. But to please God, we have to believe that he will move and work in our lives today. See, some people have this mindset that faith is for dying. Well, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Listen, faith is not just for dying. Faith is for living. The Bible says that the just, the righteous, live by faith. It's Romans 1:17. The righteous will live by faith. Doesn't say die by faith. We die by faith, trusting in the Lord when we die, but we live by faith. This is something we're supposed to live out every day. Another verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We live by faith, not by sight." That's a life of faith. King James says walk. It's lifestyle. It's living it out every day. And I want to encourage you and challenge you. This is to be the normal way of life for a Christian, is that every day we are believing God. We're trusting God. When I say we're believing God, I don't mean like, you know, abstract. "Well, I'm believing God. What are you believing God for?" "Well, I don't know." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where you are standing on the promises of God. You're believing God for some things. And you could, and it's on the tip of your tongue. Somebody says, "What do you believe in God for?" "I'm believing God for this." You know what you're believing for. You see, when you read about those stories in Hebrews chapter 11, and you go back and you read them in the Old Testament, these were not guys who were just like vaguely sort of believed in God. They were believing God for specific things. There were certain things that happened in their life by faith. And it ought to be that way in our life, that we see God move and work in our lives because we believe. See, the Lord forgives you. Whether you feel it or not. You got to deal with this feeling thing. Faith is not a feeling. It is something you choose to do. The Lord, his presence is with you whether you feel it or not. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He loves you whether you feel it or not. We take that on faith. I don't know about you, but when I was a little bitty kid, I learned a song. It says, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for I feel it sometimes." No, for the Bible tells me so. That's how I know. And I'm telling you, that's how we live this life, by the Word of God. To live a life of faith, see, we have to live by the Word of God. We have to hear the Word of faith. Romans 10 8 through 10 says this. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What did Paul say he preached? The word of faith. Two of you heard me. All right. The word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, the word of faith which we preach. So if you're wondering right now, I like to clarify this every once in a while. If you haven't figured it out yet, I am a faith preacher. I don't preach doubt. There's plenty of doubt. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to hear somebody preach to get doubt. We preach the word of faith. We preach faith. I used to say doubt is cheap and easy. Well, it is easy. Doubt is easy. Anybody can do it. But I've decided it's not cheap because it will cost you dearly. You just miss out on so much that God has for you when you live in doubt. And you read the Bible and you see it over and over. When people believe, they experience great blessings, and when they didn't, they missed those blessings. Just want to remind you that Jesus was a faith preacher. He talked about faith all the time. He talked about faith while he's ministering to people. He was healing people, casting out devils. He'd say things about faith all the time. But he also taught about faith. He says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Assuredly, I say to you, if you would say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into this sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, it will be done. Listen, that's Jesus talking. So, I'm just telling you, Jesus was a faith preacher. He preached faith all the time. You know, the Pharisees, they didn't preach faith. They preached works. I mean, they didn't, you know, their works, their righteousness was just like us. If we try to do it apart from Jesus, it was filthy rags. They didn't do a good job of it, but they preached works. What do you preach? Do you have to be loud to preach? No. Do you have to be in church to preach? No. So what do you preach? Don't preach works. Oh, if we just do everything right. Don't preach the word of religion. Don't preach the word of works, but preach the word of faith. Don't preach the word of maybe. Preach faith. See, a lot of believers are at this place where they accept their salvation by faith, but they just can't believe God for anything else. And much of the time, I really believe that a lot of it has to do with either they've never heard or they've been taught wrong. Romans 10, verse 14 and 15, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm telling you, a lot of people have heard the message of salvation by grace through faith, and they know the Lord saves, but they haven't heard that the Lord really does heal. They haven't heard that the Lord really will provide for you. They haven't heard that the Lord will fight for you. I'm telling you, people need to hear the word so they can believe. We need the word of faith. You know, when we hear and we believe, that's how we see miracles. Galatians 3:5 says, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, When miracles happen, it's because somebody heard and they believed. Whether they heard a preacher or they heard God speak to them, however they heard, but they heard and they believed, and God does the miracles. Now, some people still want to say, oh, but that's just salvation. Listen, he's not talking about salvation right here when he says, and he does miracles among you. No, he's talking about all of those healings and fantastic miracles, demons being cast out. He's talking about all those things that God did. Nowhere in the Gospels do we read about anybody that Jesus did a miracle for because they were a good person or because they were religious or because they wanted it really bad. What you read is where Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. According to your faith. Over and over you see things like that. And I'm just telling you that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where does faith come from? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's right. There's this false teaching today that God just zaps some people with faith and some people he doesn't give any faith to. And the whole teaching is kind of based on a verse from Romans where it's talking about how the different ones have different gifts and different measures. And he says, according to the measure of faith given to them. It's actually taught, first of all, if you read it in King James, it says that faith is, he's given the measure of faith to every man. But even if you want to take it that, well, he's just given it to certain ones, he's talking about gifts of ministry and how that God has graced them with a certain gift for ministry. I'm just telling you, this whole attitude and concept that, well, you know, he only gives it to certain ones. Only certain ones can believe. Really? What kind of wicked, weird game would it have been for the Lord Jesus to tell a man who wanted his child to be set free, to be healed, and he tells the man, if you can believe, all things are possible. Why didn't the man just say, well, I can't believe unless you make me, unless you give it to me. No, Jesus is telling the man to make the choice, to choose to believe. It's up to us whether or not we believe. And here's how we come to that place of faith. We hear and we decide to believe. Now, you can hear and reject. Jesus talks about that in the parable of the sower. That some, they hear the word and it just lays there, and the evil one comes and snatches it away because they didn't receive it. And you can hear and not believe. But I'm telling you, this is how faith comes, is we hear the word and we believe. And it's so important that we hear the word, that we hear it and hear it and hear it, because faith comes. We live in this society where we are bombarded and saturated with doubt and unbelief and cynicism all the time. All this sarcasm, all this stuff all around us all the time, undermining people's faith. Let me tell you, there is a cure for it. It's the Word of God. We need to hear the word of faith. Jesus told that man, he said, if you can believe. And you see, there's the key. If we can believe. If you tell me something, it's up to me to decide if I believe what you said. Or not. It's up to me. I can decide if I believe you or not. Now, my dad taught me that sometimes when people tell you things that aren't true, it's not because they're liars, they're just wrong. Very true. I mean, sometimes people believe the wrong things and they'll tell you stuff it's not true, and it's not because they're a liar, they're just wrong. Well, I just have to tell you, God has never done either. He's never lied and he's never been wrong. What he says, you can always count on it. But it's up to us to decide, do I believe what God said or do I believe all the other reports? Do I believe all the other voices? Do I believe the situation, the circumstance in front of me? Am I going to live by faith or by sight? Everything is possible to him who believes. That's what Jesus said. Everything is possible. That's the God we serve. He's not dead. He's not tired. He's not done. He says in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, change not. He's still a miracle-working God, but I'm telling you, people need to hear the word of faith. They need to know the promises of God are true, that they're available to them. And here's the amazing thing to me is that people read the Bible and the ministry of Jesus and they go and preach doubt. I don't understand. They preach that God rarely heals, that he could bless you financially, but he probably won't. Miracles are just not for today. They preach the word of doubt. And I don't usually say things very strongly against false teaching. I realize that, you know, people just get in error. But I'm telling you, people that preach doubt are modern-day Pharisees. Matthew 23:13, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." I want you to hear me now. The kingdom of heaven is, or the kingdom is not just going to heaven. It is where God comes and reigns. It's where there is healing, there's deliverance, there's peace, there's joy. How do I know that? Listen, Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. He told the disciples in Luke 10:9, heal the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Matthew 10:7-8, he says, and as you go preaching, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. I'm just telling you, you see, the Pharisees kept people out of the kingdom. Jesus says wherever the kingdom comes, there's all kinds of miracles. Why? Because faith has to be preached, not doubt and unbelief. Spiritual ignorance is not bliss. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now he's talking specifically about the knowledge of God's word. Listen to the rest of the verse. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Wow, that's pretty harsh. In fact, a lot of people would read that and they just don't even believe it. Read the Bible. You need to know what the Bible actually says. You need to listen faith being preached. But how do you know if what you're hearing is right or not? I'm telling you, there is a whole lot of baloney out there in this generation. People saying all kinds of things. I mean, you can make the Bible say just about anything you want it to say, and they do. You need to read the Bible for yourself. I talked to a guy one day. He was so messed up with all this weird doctrine that he had learned from some other people. And I just, he wouldn't listen to me. You know, every time he said he wanted to talk to me, but every time I'd try to share with him and help him and try to read a scripture to him, he'd just talk over me louder and louder. I couldn't help him. And finally, I just told him, I said, if you'll just read your Bible, stop reading these books, stop listening to these people, and just read your Bible from cover to cover. Read your Bible. You'd be surprised how much goofiness it'll straighten out. Just reading the Bible. You don't even have to have a bunch of commentaries and word studies. Just read your Bible, and it'll fix most of the goofiness. And I'll tell you something else that'll happen. Faith will come. Because it's from cover to cover. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. See, that's how he wants to move and work in our lives, is through faith. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And from such people, turn away. Don't even listen to people that deny God's power. The scripture warns us and says, turn away from people like that. Don't listen to all that silly stuff and flaky stuff, religious stuff. There's enough unbelief in the world. What we need is the Word to build our faith. Now, I want to just clarify right here. We all go through some things. We all have some hurts. We all have disappointments. Sometimes people even feel like God has let them down. And you know what? I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers for you. I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. What I am going to tell you is that God is perfect in all his ways. His ways are higher than ours, and he knows what he's doing. And sometimes things don't go the way we think they should, or he doesn't do it the way we think he should. But I'm just telling you that if you'll keep trusting God and keep standing on his word, he will always come through for you. You might think, oh, no, he let me down in this situation. Get back on track, believing and trusting God. Don't let that derail you and shipwreck your faith. Lay aside the skepticism. Lay aside unbelief. And go back to the Word of God and trust him. Because the Christian life is a life of faith. And to do that, we got to live by the Word of God. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Living by faith. Every day, we're supposed to be living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I'm living by faith. I'm not living just by natural means. I'm not living just by what seems logical. I'm living by faith. I'm not talking about turning your brain off. I'm talking about trusting God. Not leaning on your own understanding, but trusting him, acknowledging him. Oh, and how he'll move and work in your life. But you gotta believe and don't waver. Make up your mind you're gonna trust him and believe. Gotta do this. James chapter 1. Verses 5 through 8, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, this is just an example of something. Here he's saying you can ask God for wisdom, and he says it will be given. He gives it liberally without reproach, without holding it back. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, one of the reasons that people don't like the teaching like this about faith is because it puts the responsibility back on us instead of it's just, well, you know, God didn't want to do it. No, he says the man that wavers, he shouldn't think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. And when he's talking about wavering, he's not talking about that you had a thought cross your mind? That's not wavering. Of course you're going to have thoughts cross your mind. I mean, when the circumstances are telling you one thing and God's word tells you something else, of course you're going to have all kinds of thoughts coming against your mind. There's a battle that takes place. But when you waver is when you start going back and forth from, well, I'm believing God for this. Well, I just don't know what's going to happen, you know. Are you believing or not? And I always say there's a cure for wavering. Stop it. It's not a curse and a condemnation that if you've ever wavered, God can't answer your prayer now. Stop wavering. Just start believing and don't waver anymore. Faith works if we believe Him, trust Him. Now, I said very clearly that doubt is not just, oh, I had a negative thought. That's not what he's talking about here in wavering in doubt. But at the same time, I want you to hear me right now. But what you think is so important. You see, when you hear the word, it gets you thinking right. And then when you hear other stuff that goes against what the Word says, and you see things that go against what the Word says, we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, with that other stuff, it starts putting these thoughts in your head, and it makes it so hard for you to continue to believe and not waver. And here's what I'm saying to you. We need to stay full of the Word of God. We need to put it in and put it in and put it in. There's so much lazy Christianity today. We need to be students of the Word, studying the Scripture, memorizing the Scripture. Listen, I may chase somebody off tonight. I understand that. Please forgive me if I'm running you off. But I want to help somebody, and I believe what I'm preaching right now. You get enough of the Scripture down in you where you really, really believe it in your heart, and I'm telling you that God will move in your life. But as long as we're tossed back and forth because we're so full of other junk, we just don't have enough of the Word in us. It's just not, you know, we know the promise sometimes, but we don't really have it down in our heart where we really believe it in our heart. Because I'm telling you, there's a promise. 2 Corinthians 1:18 says, God is faithful. Our word to you was not yes and no. See, God is faithful. It's not, well, we don't know. Yes and no. Yes and no. That's the religion of man. It is faithless. It's not yes and no. Too much of that yes and no message. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. It's not yes and no, it's yes. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. See, God is glorified when people believe and trust him. No matter how many promises he's made, thousands of promises. Now, thousands of promises. I'm telling you, whatever your problem, there's a promise for you. Thousands of promises. Don't make one up. This is not fantasy faith. It's not positive thinking. It is standing on the promises of God. It's taking God at His word. We believe because the one who cannot lie said it. What's faith? The substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. How can you be sure? What substance, what evidence do you have? the Word of God. That's all you need. Faith is not just a random idea that we had. It rests upon the Word of God. And we got to get to the place that we believe what God has said more than what we see. That's living by faith, walking by faith, not by sight. That's why faith, it is the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what do we need? More of His Word. I'm telling you, stand on the Word of God. There are promises. By His stripes we were healed. He binds up the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free. He gives strength to those who have no strength. He says, "My peace I give unto you." I'm telling you, whatever it is, there's a promise in the Word of God. We plant, we water, God gives the increase. We're standing on that verse of Scripture for this church. Jesus is still building His church, and we're part of His church. We plant, we water, and God gives the increase. Many, many changed lives are coming because He gives the increase. I believe it. I'm expecting to see it. That's my word that I'm standing on. And I'm gonna wrap this up, but I just got to tell you, we need the Word up. I mean, we need to get full of the Word. We know what we're standing on. We know what we believe. Well, be like that old guy. Well, what do you believe? I believe what my church believes. Well, what does your church believe? They believe the same thing I do. I'm telling you, most of the people, Christians, who are messed up, it's because they believe certain doctrine, certain books, and certain preachers they listen to instead of the Bible. And you can't even get what they got, that teaching, if you just read the Bible for yourself. They've got to help you get it. No scripture is open to private interpretation. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. God the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He will show you. He will guide you into truth. And I'm telling you, the words of this book have a power in it. They have a life in it. And it will bring faith to you. All things are possible to him who believes. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you for the Word of the Lord that lives forever and doesn't change. I thank you, Father, that in it is that inherent power. And I pray, Father, that you just help us to lay hold of the Word of truth and to truly receive it every day of our life, Lord, to learn, to grow, to understand in a deeper way. Give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And Father, I just ask you tonight, oh Father, that you would just begin to speak to our hearts in a fresh new way, Lord, that faith will rise. Lord, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready to and quick to believe all that you've said. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need special prayer tonight, be glad to pray with you. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.